Thanks, Nate. Good morning. Now, you would think I would preach on memorial or remembrance or something of that sort, being that today is Memorial Day. And that was going to be the case earlier in the week, but just like last week, the Holy Spirit steered me in another direction. So today, we're going to talk about a word that is continuously popping up. It's popped up on downstairs Sunday school classroom. I've heard it a few times on the upstairs adult Sunday school classroom. It's been on my mind quite a bit, a little bit. So we're going to get into it a little bit today. It's going to be a word that most Christians have heard. You've heard this word. But I believe it's also a word that is often misunderstood. It's a word that's just kind of overlooked and just plainly confusing. That word is sanctification. I've titled today's message, Growing in Sanctification. Let's open with a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we again come and full of thanks. Thank you for the people, the men and the women that have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the gift that you've given us to lead us, to guide us, and direct us. And we, just like the song said, we want to have the Holy Spirit consume this place. In your precious Son's name. Amen. Sanctification can be, well, it can be a confusing word because of the way that people use it. Most Christians understand the word sanctification to mean to be set apart, okay? When we say we're sanctified, what we mean is that we've been set apart for God's glory to be used in His will, to accomplish His purpose. Others use the words to be made holy. People who usually use that definition think that you're sanctified, for God declares that all men and all through all angels that you've been made holy and that you can do no wrong. And to some retrospect, that kind of is correct. I'm going to ask Zach if he can turn me down just a hair. I don't know if it's this microphone. How about that? I'm getting a feedback up here. All right, cool. Sanctification might contain both these definitions. It does contain both these definitions. But sanctification is way, way more than just being set apart or made holy. You might have heard people say, you know, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been justified by the grace of God, and I've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And that is true. Sanctification is directly related to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working for our sanctification. The Holy Spirit is working for your sanctification. The Holy Spirit works within us to change us, to give us greater holiness in this life. But what makes this word so confusing is that we tend to think of it as something that's happened once and it's said and done, and that's it. That's not the case. Sanctification is an ongoing process, always happening, should always be happening. Here's the definition. Sanctification is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and more like Christ. All right? It's the process by which we grow further and further away from sin and closer to God. Now, I want to make myself perfectly clear. I'm not talking about salvation. I want to reiterate that right here, right now. I'm not talking about salvation. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. No matter how many good works you get, you do, you cannot get into heaven based off of your works. And you can't have sanctification unless you are saved. All right? Sanctification is the process that causes us to grow in Christ's likeness. And as a Christian, we should always be growing in sanctification. The more we grow in sanctification, the more our lives resemble Jesus Christ. Do we got that? Shake your head. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. If you don't have it, just do like this, and I'll keep going. All right? This is a process. It's something that we don't hear a lot about. I haven't heard a lot about. I wish I had heard a lot more about sanctification earlier when I became a Christian. The more we grow in sanctification, the more our lives resemble Jesus Christ. Because sanctification is a process, I want us to know how this process works. And I'm going to try to squeeze it in. Well, about 30 minutes. Everybody looking at the clock right now. I want us to understand how this process works. We play a part in our sanctification. You play a part in your sanctification. I broke this down into 3 points. The very first one, how does sanctification work? Sanctification has a definite starting point. A definite moral change begins when you're born again. The moment when you pray the prayer of salvation and accept Christ as your personal Savior, God puts a change in your heart, okay? He gives you a new life. He gives you a spiritual life. Hence the phrase, born again. It's a regeneration process. This initial moral change is the first stage in sanctification. It involves a break from the ruling power of sin. So we're no longer controlled by sin. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Here's what it says. Do not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's a place where a lot of preachers will actually stop preaching. Because they can say, you know who's not going to heaven? All right? The next verse is very important to this. It says, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All right? From the point of salvation, you're changed. We're given the power to overcome acts and patterns of sinful behavior. It causes us to be able to say with confidence, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in to the sin that continues to pop up in my life. It causes us to say, you know, I don't care if I've had this temper for 50 years, I'm not going to let it ruin my relationship with Jesus. It causes us to say, I understand that the sin in my life hurts God. And it affects my relationship with Christ. And I don't want anything to come between me and my Lord. It causes us to realize that, guess what? We are more than just a sinner. This initial break with sin also changes our desires so that we no longer have a dominant love for sin in our lives. Do you know the reason why most people sin? They sin because they think it's fun. When the process of sanctification begins in your life, you suddenly realize that sin is not only fun, it is dangerous. Every day it seems like we hear on the news of children killing children, or adults killing adults for that matter. We hear of men and women getting arrested for prostitution. We hear about the epidemic issue of drug abuse. We see politicians and judges taking bribes and doing other illegal things. We hear more and more about STDs as men and women become more and more promiscuous with open and sex. This past week, I saw a new commercial for a prescription drug called Proflaxis. Have y'all heard this? Have you seen this yet? New commercial? This pill is for people that do not have HIV. They don't have the HIV virus, but who are substantial risk of getting it because of their sexual activity. So you take this pill every day to help you prevent from being infected with the HIV virus. You go on having all the premarital sex that you want, all the homosexual sex that you want, and then it cuts down on your risk of getting HIV. That's the world we live in. We live in a world where it's deemed perfectly fine to have all the sex you want, with who you want, when you want, where you want, outside of a God-ordained marriage, and now we have doctors and pharmaceutical companies going to help you do it. All of these things happen because people love to sin. They like it. When the process of sanctification begins in your life, you begin to see the sin for the destructive thing that it is. It's not just a little mistake. It's not something that you can overlook and then you just sweep it up under the rug. It's a thing that ruins your life and it hinders your relationship with God. Do you understand that? Sin hurts God. It builds up a callus in that relationship between you and God. Here's the second point regarding sanctification. Sanctification should increase throughout your Christian life. This process of sanctification continues until the day you die. As a Christian, let me rephrase that. As a Christian, it should increase until the day you die. One of the biggest tasks we have as Christians is to grow more and more and more in sanctification. Just like we grew more and more and more in sin before we became Christians. And yes, Christians sin. We're sinful people, but we don't have to be controlled by it. I hear Christians say all the time, well, you know, I'm a sinful person, it's just who I am. No, it's not. No, it's not. You have a choice. You have been set free. We should never allow sin to have its way in our lives. We do this by progressively becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ every single day. We do this by sanctification. Think of your Christian life as a journey, a pilgrimage, if you will. Some of us are wandering in the desert. Some of us are in the valley. Some of us might be on the mountaintops. We're all in different stages of this journey, but we're all on the same path. We're all working and going in the same direction, the same destination. Sometimes we're moving ahead. Other times we take a step or two back. Ultimately, we make progress. But we have to keep working at it. As we grow in Christ's likeness and become more and more spiritual, mature, the kinds of sin that remain in our lives changes. If you've been a Christian for a while, think back and try to remember some of the sins that you used to commit. Think back. You've been a Christian all your life. Think back a long time ago. Think of the sins then compared to the sins now. They're different. Most of them a long time ago were outwardly style sins. More noticeable. I got one I think about. Cussing. For example, foul language seems to magically drift away as the closer you walk with the Lord becomes. I remember back to my late teens, my early 20s. I had a pretty filthy mouth. I just finished basic training. I was assigned to a special 10-man squad that traveled. We traveled quite a bit, and all we did was to compete with different branches of the military. And when we all got together and was yelling back and forth, it was bad. I mean, you could call it diarrhea of the mouth. You could just say, I wouldn't kiss my mom with that mouth. All right? It was not good. But the closer my relationship got with God, the closer that walk, the closer the Holy Spirit work, the harder the Holy Spirit worked on me, the more that kind of drifted away. Why? Because I had the Holy Spirit working on me, in me, and through me. And there are some other outwardly noticeable things that often go away as well, some of which are sins, others are just bad habits. Some people quit drinking, some people quit smoking, some quit being abrasive, annoying jerks. Let's hope. Some become polite. You get the picture. As time goes on, you grow in sanctification. The Holy Spirit begins to reveal the real sin in your life, the inward attitudes, the motives of the heart. They're usually the ones that are the harder to deal with. They're the ones that people don't always see. Desires such as pride, selfishness, lack of courage or lack of faith, lack of zeal in loving God with our whole hearts, unwillingness to love our neighbors as ourselves, unwillingness to forgive, failure to fully trust God for all He promises in every situation. Yeah, there's sins too. They show us how we fall short in the moral perfection of Christ. But there's a good grain of sand in that. Because we realize it and we say, I don't want to be that. I need to grow. I need to get better. I need to put that behind me. They show us how we fall short. That's how sanctification works. It has a definite starting point and it continues throughout our earthly life. We should be able to look back over our Christian life and see a difference. You should be able to look back over, say, the last 15 years and say, wow, you know what? I'm not the same person. I'm not the same spiritual person that I used to be. I've really grown. We can look back over the last 10 years and say, wow, you know what? The Lord has really brought me a long way. My spiritual walk has changed. My spiritual life has grown. We should look back over the last 5 years and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in my life. We should be able to look over the last year and say, thank you, God, that I'm not that person. Just last year, I'm changing. Holy Spirit's working on me. And what about last month? Yes, even last month. We should be able to see a difference in spiritual growth from just last month. Does the Holy Spirit speak to you now more than He has in the past? Does the Holy Spirit speak to you more now, more today than He has in the past? You see, that's the power of sanctification, but you have to play a part in it. J.R. just said, you got to listen. You have to play a part in this. That brings me to the third point. What's our part in the process of sanctification? God's got the primary part. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't need sanctification. Our part is actually secondary, but it's just as essential. There are two parts that we play in our sanctification, passive and active. The first there is passive. We don't have to do much. That's the point. You're like, Donnie, I like that one. Right? We don't have to do a whole lot. We just let God have His way in our life. We let Him in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. In this passive role, we trust God to sanctify us and fill us with the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to teach us, to direct us. We're completely dependent on the Holy Spirit to grow in sanctification. But we've got to be careful, though. You see, in that passive role, sometimes we emphasize this so strongly that it's the only thing that we know. That's how we come up with the idea that sanctification was a one-time thing. It happened, and then I'm done, and I ain't got to do anymore. No, not the case. Have you ever heard the phrase, let go and let God? Let go and let God. What this means is I've let go, and then I've let God take control. We mean well when we say it because we want to emphasize the trust that we have in God, but there's a lot of people out there who've let go, but don't let God. What I mean is that they say they let go of life's situations, but they don't let God control their lives. And they end up blaming God when things don't work out the way they think they should. We need to realize something. Hear me out. God doesn't always do everything for us. He expects us to work with Him as He works on us and through us. When we say we have an issue in our life, we simply don't say, "Lord, I'm laying this at Your feet and I'm going to let You handle it," and then we sit back and do nothing. If you lose your job and are desperate need for another one, you turn it over to God, and then you start looking for another job, right? You don't turn it over to God and then sit back twiddling your thumbs waiting for God to drop something in your lap. No, you get busy. Like any other issues in our life, you get busy at praying. You get busy at reading the Bible. You get busy at meditating on what you just read. You dig into the Scripture and see what God is telling you to do. You get busy. You get proactive. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something in your life, you can't just say, "Oh, I'll ask God to take it away." You can, don't get me wrong, but He doesn't always take it away, but He does give us the power and the authority to deal with it in such a way that He is glorified through it. You might remember Paul, and Paul asked God 3 times, take away the thorn in his side, right? Now, Paul didn't have no physical thorn in his side. Paul had an issue in his life. We don't know exactly what it was. And he's like, "God, I need You to take this from me. I need You to take this issue from me." 3 times he asked God. And Jesus took it from him, didn't He? No, He didn't. He didn't take it from him. And what was Paul's response when He did not take it from him? He said, "Your grace is sufficient." Listen to me. God's working on you for a reason. And trust Him when He doesn't always fix your problems. It brings us to the second part we play in our sanctification. That's the active role. I told you about the passive role. Now we're going to get into a little bit of the active role. I actually touched a little bit on that one here a few minutes ago. In this active role, we do something, okay? We get busy. That's what Paul meant when he said in Philippians 2, 12 through 13, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Now, you're probably thinking the same thing I was thinking when I first read this. What exactly was Paul meaning when he said working out our salvation? Here it is. You ready? That's what he's saying. Obedience is the way we work out our salvation. Again, I want you to understand that we work out our salvation. We don't work for our salvation. If God is at work in your life, you will desire to actively deal with the sin in your life. Because God's already taken care of the penalty of sin, but we have to take care of the reality of sin. You say, "Donnie, I get it. I hear you. But what exactly do I need to do?" 1 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," meaning if you're growing, "they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are to continually build up patterns and habits of holiness in our lives. And there are no shortcuts for growing in sanctification. Just the old-fashioned, time-honored means of reading your Bible, meditation, prayer, worship, witnessing, Christian fellowship, self-discipline. In closing, spiritual maturity and sanctification go hand in hand. You could even say that they're one and the same. We should always be growing in our faith and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should always allow the Holy Spirit to move and guide us in the direction that He wants versus what we want. We should always be praying for spiritual growth and seeking a closer walk with God. We should always realize, listen to me, we should realize the hindrance that sin has on our life and the pain that sin causes God, and we should want to steer clear. We should always be seeking more in that relationship with God. We should want more of God. It's important that we continue to grow and not be the person that we were yesterday. That is sanctification. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You for sanctification. We thank You for the Holy Spirit, because we wouldn't even have the opportunity to work at sanctification, to be active at sanctification, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And You, God, we know that You want our lives to be full of sanctification. Help us, oh Lord. Help us seek that in everything we do, in Your precious Son's name. Amen.